is the Day Zero update for December 17th, 2017. I'm Fleetwood and Alpha.
I'm Patrick Mifflin.
I'm Brandon Perkins.
And I'm Chris Sologi.
And this is the last regular show before the holiday break. We've got another year-end recap coming up soon. Whether we'll post that the Christmas Eve or New Year's Eve, we're not entirely sure yet, but that's going to happen. So look forward to that. But this week, there's pretty much no news, because it's the holiday season and everybody's finished doing whatever the heck they were doing for a year. So
it's pretty much.
Yeah, it's going to be a little bit of a slim show, but you know, we still got a couple of interesting bits of note, so we'll get to that. But before we do, what we've been up to this week. And this week for me, it's been, well, Game of the Year stuff. So we've pretty much all been doing that, so that's a thing. Also been playing a little bit of Street Fighter V for reasons we'll discuss in a bit. And I've spent way too much time playing Universal Paperclips.
What?
Universal Paperclips. It's the it's a idle game based on the theory that if you're building an AI, it will optimize itself for a given task, and in this case, this task is making paperclips. So you start off by basically, you know, you start off with just a regular wire loom and just clippers, and you make your paper clips. And then eventually it devolves into basically consuming all of the matter in the universe to turn them into paper clips. So there's a message there. I'm not entirely sure what that is, but
that escalated quickly.
Yeah, in the span of 8 hours, you go from cornering the market on paper clips to destroying the universe. So, okay. Like I said, I've spent far too much time playing this game, and it almost made my Game of the Year list, but...
Wow.
I decided, you know, no. That's just...
That kind of sounds like Space Plan.
It's kind of like Space Plan.
Only the game darker. With the potatoes.
Yeah. Instead of... You know, building everything out of potatoes, it's your entire purpose is to hoard as many paper clips as possible. So, it's a thing. It's fun. It's worth playing, and it's available on the web for free.
I feel like there are a lot of people who need to play this game.
Yeah, I think it's a thing. You should probably like read the theory on the paperclip theory first, and then play it, because it will probably make a lot more sense then. it's worth trying, and if you don't feel like playing it on the on your web browser, you can also get it for iOS and Android, and it's also free, so check that out. And that's it for me. How about you, Pat?
Now that my part of the Game of the Year festivities is mostly over, all I've got to do is write my article, as I do every year. I'm back to gaming for me, and that's been pretty interesting. I've gone full back to Street Fighter V and Marvel, but also added the Fighting EX layer beta to that, because that's been a thing. And I also picked up Romancing Saga 2 on Friday night when it came out, because I've wanted this game in North America for over 2 decades. And getting it on mobile wasn't quite enticing enough to get me to buy it, but now that it's on all of the things, I had to. Back in the early to mid 90s, we were only getting a drop in the bucket of what Square Enix was actually putting out, and they were already consistently great at that point. This is one of the games that we missed, and so I don't think there's any. I would hope there's nothing else I need to add to that to explain why you should buy this game, but. Yeah, it's out there. It's $20 until about a week into January. I highly recommend it.
You started it yet? Yeah, I'm guessing.
A little bit, yeah.
Yeah, okay. So, yeah, good stuff. Brandon?
So other than Stardew Valley, which, you know, I'm still playing pretty regularly, I've been playing Neo. I said it last time. I'll say it again. Neo is, and I really don't like saying it because it sounds like I'm selling the game short, but it's basically feudal Japan Dark Souls.
Yeah.
And I do mean Feudal Japan. It takes place during the Sengoku Jidai period, so...
I just want to put something out here.
Yeah.
You compared a game to Dark Souls and started worrying that you were selling it short. That's about as high a praise as you can give a game.
Yeah. It has, Nobunaga Oda, Toyotomi Hideyoshi, Tokugawa Ieyasu, Hattori Hanzo. You run into them at least once during the game. Including Yasuke, who is the sort of generic game for an actual samurai of African descent that worked under Nobunaga Oda. Hmm. It's pretty cool. It is a lot of fun. I will give it that. It can be as challenging as Dark Souls, but the combat's a bit more agile than Dark Souls is, because Dark Souls is really like 100% all about defending and making sure that getting that hit right against these overpowering fast enemies. But this is more of like a Ninja Gaiden type thing where, it can be overpowering, but you feel like you can actually go toe-to-toe with them.
Hmm.
Whereas, like, in Dark Souls, it often feels overpowering. Yeah. It's a lot of fun. I do recommend it. So, Chris, what about you?
So I played the Monster Hunter World beta.
Mm-hmm.
That happened this past week, and it was really fun. They did a good job of finally making a sort of demo version of one of their Monster Hunter games that was actually easy for noobs to get into.
Mm-hmm.
Because all the other demos I've played of Monster Hunter games typically are like mid-game missions, and you've got none of the tutorials or context of what you're doing. So I was like, okay, go take out one of this beast. How do I play? So you're screwed. This time around, they actually... Well, first off, they made some of these bosses a little bit easier, just to make them easier to get into, as well as showing you the controls on the screen, so you know sort of what moves and such you can do, which makes it pretty easy to get into, and I assume it's going to be like getting the final version of the game when that comes out. Geez, that's about a month or so out.
Mm-hmm.
It was really fun. Being able to sort of chase these monsters around, because there's no more of dividing these big maps into like 10 smaller pieces.
Mm.
It's all one big map. For the most part, I'm sure there's maybe some parts where you have to load in, but the missions I played were not really, had nothing like that. So it was nice to be able to just chase the sort of the big monster around, from area to area. It still separates them a little bit like that. That you can sort of say, oh, go to area 2 or area 4, and you know where that's at if you're looking at the map. But it's still mostly a big open world, which is nice. It was a lot of fun. They're bringing that beta out, I think, next week or sometime this week. And it's going to be open to everybody on PS4 instead of this past week being all PS Plus people. So definitely recommend people trying that out. And that seems like that could be the game that finally opens it up here in the West, which will be nice to see. I also played PlayerUnknown's Battlegrounds on the Xbox One X, at least.
Okay.
And it's pretty good. The controls are probably the biggest problem, because the PC version obviously uses a ton of buttons in many scenarios, and they try to map all of that to the controller.
Hmm.
So there's lots of buttons that do different things depending on when you tap it or hold it down.
Ooh.
So, like X, you press that to pick up items and open doors. which is not great when you have items next to doors. And also, if you hold down X, that's your reload.
Oh.
And the great thing about the control scheme is that you can't even look at it until you're loading into a game.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah, so one of the first things I did is took a screenshot of it.
So you could refer back to it.
Yeah. Now I've played like 8 or 9 matches, so I've getting some handle on it. Mm-hmm. Though I'm still getting to scenarios where I'm like, I've never gotten to a car until like the last match I was in. Mm-hmm. So I didn't know how to get out of it. I can figure out how to get in because it shows like X, you know, drive this Jeep, whatever it is. And so I was like, okay, that's easy enough, but they don't tell you how to get out. Mm. It's like pressing all the buttons. But I eventually figured that out. The map's real weird because you can obviously place like the markers, sort of say, hey, I should be going this way, all that stuff. But you press the right stick in to place the marker. Mm. And you press Y to erase it. So I constantly hit Y thinking that's put the marker. Or that's how to back out of the map. So I erase my marker all the time. It's lots of weird stuff like that. But yeah, I've gotten some kills. I got to number 4 one of my matches, which was pretty nice. I killed a guy with a pistol. And then got killed by somebody with a sniper rifle, so I did pretty well for that being like my 3rd or 4th match.
Mm-hmm.
The inventory stuff is not great. So if you've seen PlayerUnknown's Battlegrounds, it has sort of a big inventory thing where the left edge of the screen is the stuff that is around you on the ground.
Yeah.
So if you go into an area, there's just a bunch of stuff and you want to sort through it easily, you can pull that up and sort of sort through it. But on the console, you have to move between that, the inventory, as well as the part where it shows like your guns and your attachments. You have to switch between those with the bumpers. So if you're not, if you're trying to manage that stuff well, you're not able to do it quickly at all. Hmm. There are ways of trying to equip stuff from the ground into your to a gun or whatever, and sometimes it doesn't seem to work. There are times where I got to kind of glitch out where I couldn't even manage the list of items I had. I would have that highlighted and try to hit down to go down, and it would be on a completely different part of the inventory screen. It's like weird bugs like that.
Sounds a lot like this is made by a developer who's their first game and has no experience with console development. Hmm.
Sounds like Microsoft needed this out before Christmas, and so they got them to release it as soon as possible.
Because it's not ready.
Yeah. And as for performance, it's been pretty good. It chugs into places you think where you are dropping out of the plane, you can see the entire map.
Yeah.
That's where it chugs. It chugs on the essentially the lobby area where it drops down 90 to 100 people yeah. in a small area that start throwing Molotov cocktails and smoke grenades and shooting bullets all over the place.
Yeah.
That chugs. And it has some of the stuff I've seen in the PC version with my PC that is 3 or 4 years old now with a 770 in it, where you land on the map, you go, get close down to landing, and the map, the buildings all look like the 3D in Google Earth, where it's PS1 level kind of 3D versions of buildings. It doesn't stay on that like it does in my PC version, so that's at least nice. Where I've landed on the PC version, still had that thing sitting in front of me. I couldn't get into the building until it finished rendering the building, but that's not a problem here on the Xbox One X version. And I've had weird lag issues. I don't think it's my internet, because I'll be running across a field and my guy will kind of warp, like 4 or 5 feet behind.
Yeah.
Like maybe several times trying to run across a big field, which is the worst place for that to happen. Cause you just have no idea where you're at.
Yeah.
Because you're just constantly warping back. Makes the big fields even bigger. It's like, oh, I just want to get across here. Quit warping me back. But yeah, it's rough in a lot of places, but it's playable. I've gotten some nice kills.
It's playable on the X, I should point out.
Yeah.
On the base Xbox One, it chugs all the time.
So, yeah, that's...
Yeah, don't buy it on base Xbox One, because you're screwed.
Yeah. Yeah, I've not heard great things about at least that the original Xbox One version. I think I heard Giant Bomb talking about it, and they were saying it was probably just a bug, but they went to the character screen, the inventory screen, and instead of their character model showing up, it was an outline.
Whoops.
It's just like, oh, that's weird. Mm. They played on Xbox One X and didn't have that, so... Yeah, I wouldn't get that on anything that isn't at least an S. Mm. I would probably recommend X, which they're doing a smart promotion to bundle that with Xbox One X's that are being purchased, I think, for the next week or so.
Yeah.
Which that game has already sold 1 million on Xbox One. So people that thought that would not sell like the Steam version sold, they're wrong.
Yeah.
It's just like Minecraft when people are like, oh, that's not going to work on a console. It's going to sell like shit. Nobody wants that game. It's like, nope, it's the most popular console game.
Hmm.
Because it appeals to everybody, and it works really well on a controller.
Hmm.
And this, it doesn't work that well on a controller. It's lots of weird stuff. You can do the leaning stuff while you're shooting, but you press in like L3 or R3. That's not great when you're trying to aim for shooting, that you're pressing in the button as well. That's only useful if you're trying to do a melee out of your aiming, like in Call of Duty or Battlefield, but you're not really doing that here.
Mm.
It's lots of weird decisions of them wanting to keep every option that you have in the PC version, or I think they might have done better maybe simplifying certain things.
Mm.
Finding ways to compromise for the sake of not overwhelming people with all of these things, trying to figure out how to make them work on a controller. But yeah, I'm looking forward to seeing how that progresses. It has some of the things from the newer versions of PC version, which it has mantling, so you can climb over walls. You can actually bust through some windows just by mantling through it, which is hilarious because you break through the glass as well, which is not realistic at all.
Mm.
You're most likely not going to just vault into a window and break it without using some sort of like hammer or gun to shoot it first.
Mm.
But it's pretty hilarious when it happens, which has involved just me like running up the windows and pressing jump like I'm going to run through it.
And see not which doing ones you most... can do it on.
Yeah. Because it seems like it should happen for more, but it doesn't. Mm. But it's still a nice thing. It changes a lot of how you get around the world when you can just vault over those walls. The only thing I'd like is them to have a better way of doing it out of crouch.
Mm.
Like a way of just maybe like rolling over the wall or something like that. Because I press A thinking I could hurdle out of the crouch, and you can't. So I end up having to stand up, then doing the hurdle.
Mm.
And it's a little bit weird, but that's kind of PUBG right now. It's kind of weird.
Kind of weird, it sort of works.
Yeah, it works pretty well. Mm. And I've also been playing some of Animal Crossing Pocket Camp on my Android phone, and it's pretty good. Though it's very server intensive, I guess, because I've gotten dropped a number of times. Even while just starting up the game this morning, you'd be like, oh, we lost connection, returning to the main menu. I was on the main menu. I lose the server at the main menu. I was like, oh, we got to have you download something. And it did it right in the middle of that. At least it was able to continue the download, but there's a lot of weird stuff like that, and I guess they had maintenance this morning, so I lost connection because of that. That was weird. Otherwise, it kind of scratches the Animal Crossing itch. Though I don't know that's going to really do it enough as far as an Animal Crossing style experience, because I need the full thing.
Yeah.
And we need that sooner rather than later. Because this is not a Band-Aid on a gaping Animal Crossing wound. We need the full thing.
Hmm.
It has some of the characters I remember from New Leaf. Apollo, the giant eagle, is in there. He's pretty good. Now he's just hanging out at my camp, just sleeping all the time. So now he's a moocher. I need to ask him to give me some stuff, or else he's gonna get kicked out. It's pretty good. I'm gonna probably keep trying to play it some more. They got a big holiday thing going on, which isn't really doing anything more than you earn candy canes as like a quest rewards. Then you can use those to craft special holiday items for your camp area, which is interesting. Though one of the weird things they do with that is to be able to invite people to your camp to hang out, you have to make items for them. It's like, oh, you need this specific type of couch to get me to come over. It's like, well, you're not a good person then. You need me to change all my furniture just for you.
Yeah.
It's like, you're a terrible person. You're teaching people bad values. So I'm going to go over to my friends. I'll be like, no, fuck that couch. We're not friends anymore. it's got some weird mechanics to it just to make it more friendly for a phone game where you're just grinding for these crafting materials or, you know, trying to catch specific types of fish or get enough fruit or types of bugs to curry favor with friends.
Mm.
It's a little bit weird, but it's all right. And that's been pretty much it for me.
All right. So, yes, we'll get on to our short stories of the week. Pat, take us through the beginning of these, because,
So, any questions that Dragon Ball FighterZ might be limited to Dragon Ball Z characters has been effectively answered, because the last wave of Dragon Ball FighterZ character announcements included Hit, Beerus, and Goku Black, all Dragon Ball Super characters. So, let the floodgates open. This is going to be very good for the roster, and I'm fully expecting this to be a very character-diverse game.
Hmm.
So, it's not just going to be an endless parade of Saiyans that, like, we were... like a lot of us were kind of afraid it would be. There's going to be a good selection of characters playable in this game, and I'm really looking forward to it now. And we won't have to wait long, because the release date is January 26th in North America.
Well, that crept up on us quickly.
Yeah. So good work by Arc System Works for getting this game done quickly.
Yeah.
In other fighting game news, roster projections are out the window for BlazBlue Cross Tag Battle, because the last wave of character announcements there gave us four BlazBlue characters. There was a previous conception that there was going to be a cap on each IP of seven characters based on what the select screen looked like at Loke tests. But this last wave of announcements, which has Iron Tager, Makoto Nanaya, New 13, and S, bring the BlazBlue count up to 10. So
that's lots.
We're going to have quite a roster on our hands by the time this all settles.
Mm.
And at the end of the trailer, I'm pretty sure that was Bang Shishigami's voice, so that would be an 11th BlazBlue character. And, you know, stay tuned. They say the next wave of announcements will be beginning of next year.
Mm. Yeah, it makes me wonder if they're going for that 50-character like monster that MVC2 was at one point.
I could imagine it. And they'd be pretty good at balancing it out, too, because that's the kind of fighting game they make habitually.
Yeah.
So I'm looking much more forward to this game now that it looks like there's going to be a larger roster, and it's going to be one of those where if you can't find a character or two characters that you find fun, that isn't Arc System Works' problem. That's not their fault.
Yeah.
So, yeah, this one is quickly climbing up my list of anticipated games. So,
yeah, we don't have a solid release date on this one yet.
Not yet.
No. That's
unfortunate. 2018.
2018. Well, at least that's not far off anymore. So.
Yeah. I'm sure it'll be out around the time of Evo.
Yeah. Well, it will definitely be playable at Evo.
Yeah.
I'm sure of that.
Whether it's out or not.
Yeah. So. All right. So we got some other interesting news for us, basically. Falcom is staffing up. They're working on a new series, which is good to hear. And they're also, staffing up for future East and Trails titles. So, yeah.
I think that's the sound of them realizing that they are the Square Enix of this era.
Mm.
And yeah. now they have to sustain that, and they have to get games coming out more steadily and localized more steadily. So I hope this is going to be good for Exceed, too.
Yeah.
Because they absolutely deserve to be along for the ride on this.
Now, let's just hope they don't end up making the same pig-headed decisions that Square Enix made.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I think Falcom is way more steeped in the types of games that they make than Square Enix was when Final Fantasy VII came out.
Hmm.
So I think they had to wait long enough for success, for this kind of success, that they know where they earn their paycheck.
Yeah, they also know their audience very well at this point. So they're probably not going to stray too far from what's made them, famous at this point. Trails and East, those are going to continue to bring in money for them.
Yep.
Whatever this new series turns out to be, it's probably going to be pretty good as well. And, you know, if you're just out of school in Japan, an artist, programmer, whatever, Falcom might be where you want to be.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
So, yeah. Check those. Send in your resumes. might be set for life.
Yeah.
In strange news, Ghost Recon Wildlands is doing a special event, and the Predator is involved for some reason.
Yep. Because money.
Yeah.
Licensing money. They kind of blew this. They should not have announced this. Just had it happen.
Yeah.
And people are like, what the fuck is going on? Is that the Predator?
That's true.
What the fuck?
Yeah. Yeah, because now people are just expecting it and going to be like, oh, really? Yeah. But, of course, they had to announce it because otherwise nobody would go back to Wildlands. So
yeah.
I don't know. It could have built up. It's like people are like, wait, is the Predator in this? What was that?
Yeah.
Everybody, we got to get on Wildlands.
Yeah. And I'm sure there was something contractually that they had to promote it.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, well, it's kind of cool, I guess. Of the alien-type Predator / sci-fi characters that I can think of, Predator does make some sense in that context, but yeah.
Yeah, it's a pretty good fit for that style of game.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So, check it out. You still have a copy of it, Chris?
I never had it.
Oh. Mm-hmm. All right, never mind then.
Yeah.
I'm just saying, we'll watch you play it. But, yeah.
Well.
Yeah. So, yeah, moving on into news that should surprise absolutely no one at this point. Ni No Kuni 2 is delayed till March 23rd.
Yep.
Because, of course, it is.
Mm-hmm.
Who didn't see that coming?
Nope.
At least it's a very specific delay date.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's we got to get out before the quarter ends.
Yeah. And it's like, we can't go any later than that, so yeah. Because it's the 23rd and not the 30th because, they need at least a week of sales. So,
mm-hmm.
Yeah. So if you were looking forward to that game, and I'm pretty sure a lot of us are, you're going to have to wait a few more weeks. So
at least that's more money for what is out then? I think it's Yakuza.
Mm-hmm.
Yakuza 6 and Monster Hunter World are out right around that, so hey, you got $60 more for that.
Yep.
Oh yeah, I forgot Yakuza 6 was one of the pre-order bonuses for Final or for Virtua Fighter 5 Final Showdown.
Hmm.
Yep. Oh wait, no, Yakuza 6 is the 20th of March. Oh, sorry.
Nope.
Oh, Yakuza 6, Valkyria Chronicles 4, Ni no Kuni 3 within 3 days of each other.
Oh, damn.
Far Cry 5 is right after that. Okay.
Yeah, March is pretty stacked. So, yeah, good stuff.
So screw you.
Oh, boy. Yeah,
screw you.
Everybody that wants to get it out before the end of that quarter.
Yeah. So, okay, so we'll move on to our proper discussion topics of the week, and we'll start with, Capcom Cup talk.
Yes.
So
who else actually watched Capcom Cup? Is it just me?
I watched some of it, and then they started playing Marvel, and I left.
Oh.
Yeah.
So you didn't watch any of Sunday?
Pretty much, no.
Oh, man. So I have to give my shout-out to MenaRD. Basically did the impossible and ran through the overpowered, bloody bracket of hell. And beat Tokido in Grand Finals, resetting the bracket to do so, to win Capcom Cup as a birdie player. So,
oof.
Big, big props to him. He says he's going to take the entire $250,000 purse and put it into the Dominican Republic fighting game scene. So, extra props for that.
Yeah.
If you haven't watched the top eight, I highly recommend you go back and do so because it was really an amazing tournament. One of the best ones I've ever watched. And hopefully we see more from this kid in the future because he's got composure of players twice his age. So, but in addition to that, throughout PlayStation Experience, we got full disclosure on Street Fighter V Arcade Edition and Season 3. All we're missing now is a comprehensive balance list, which I'm sure will be coming in the next couple of weeks. Sakura will be leading the new character, will be leading the DLC charge in January with the release of the game on the 16th. After that, we're going to have Blanca in March, Falke, a new character in May. She's the character that we saw with Ed in his story mode ending.
Okay.
With his sort of new Shadaloo, I think some people have compared Ed's group to the Akatsuki from Naruto, which isn't entirely inaccurate. but that's who she is. Cody Travers, the new mayor of Metro City, as it sounds, will be arriving in July, along with another new character, G, in September. I'm not even sure where to begin in trying to describe this guy. Just watch the trailer for yourself. It's the arcade edition CG intro. So maybe you'll find a better way to describe him, or maybe find an effective way to describe him where I can't. And then finally, to send Season 3 out with a bang, we've got Sagat in November. So he will be available in time for Capcom Cup, and that will be interesting. I think this pack of characters is really going to reshape the competitive landscape.
I think this is like, other than, I think she was like wasn't Sakura a special character in Street Fighter 4?
No, she was a regular character in Street Fighter 4.
Okay. I was thinking, she looks more grown up, this one.
Yeah. Right now, we're in a very specific part of the storyline. Street Fighter V is literally how Street Fighter IV leads into Street Fighter III. Street Fighter III is the destination of all these storylines that are going on in V right now. And I almost wonder if they're going to keep it rolling with a retelling of 3, because as great as those games were, so few people played them that they need to know what happened in those. So maybe we're going to see Street Fighter 3 get retold through Street Fighter 5 at one point or another, kind of like how Alpha 3 more or less included Street Fighter 2 in its storyline. So, look forward to that. Also, changes are coming to the fight money system. There are going to be more special challenges and ways to get fight money through sort of missions that you can take on. But because of that, the trade-off is going to be that the single-player content is going to lose all of its fight money yield the day that Arcade Edition comes out on the 16th of January. So January 15th will be the last day to do combo trials, survival mode, story mode, demonstrations, whatever, to get your fight money. After that, all that fight money is left on the table. So get your single-player stuff done now. And that's why Phil and I are playing so much Street Fighter V these days.
Yeah, it's the single-player stuff. And I should point out that combo trials are incredibly irritating. Just because they are.
I mean, they are there to make you miserable. It's gotten to the point where they're not really there to give you a reasonable concept of what your characters are capable of. They're meant to be hard. And so, I don't know. I think there are better ways to get fight money if you're really down to crunch time at this point. But if you're good at trials, then this would be a time to start grinding on them.
Yeah.
Me, I'm doing my survival modes to get fight money.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm trying to do that too, see if I can find a way to exploit the AI, because it's just brain dead dumb.
Yeah.
For the most part, anyway.
And at least until you get to around stage 26 or so, then it starts smartening up.
Yeah. So, yeah. So we'll be getting to that. Yeah, I got to get a few. Well, yeah, a few more thousand to be able to finish off my Season 1 characters, and then I should be good there. Or I just might end up buying the disc anyway, because it will be cheaper for me to do that.
Get in on the character packs if you need to, because they're on sale right now.
Yeah, I looked on PSN, and the character packs are not as much of a good deal over here as they are over there.
Oh, what are they going for?
Character pack 1 and 2 are both $23.
Ew.
Yeah, which is less than 39, but still. Yeah, we're getting screwed over here with the character packs.
Yeah, you are.
Yeah, so.
Over here, it's $9.99 for Season 1 and $14.99 for Season 2 until the 9th. But we'll be talking about that sale later.
Yeah. So moving on, we got another announcement from Capcom. They're doing a 30th anniversary collection of Street Fighter.
Now, this was my hype from Capcom Cup, because this was something that needed to happen. I'm thrilled to see all these great fighting games living to see the PS4, Xbox One, just 8th generation in general. PC, you could make the case that they're already there in a very arcade-perfect form, but getting Capcom's blessing and just really doing their part to prolong the existence of these games, I think is fantastic.
Yeah.
So the rundown is Street Fighter, Street Fighter II: The World Warrior, Street Fighter II Champion Edition, Street Fighter II Hyper Fighting. Hyper Fighting is one of four games in the package that will get online play, I should add. Super Street Fighter II, Super Street Fighter II Turbo, which also has online play, Street Fighter Alpha, Street Fighter Alpha 2, Street Fighter Alpha 3 with online play. And it's fucking criminal that Street Fighter Alpha 2 doesn't have it as well, because it really deserves it. Street Fighter Alpha 2 was a very special time in Street Fighter.
Yeah.
And deserves to be enjoyed online with massive groups of players, rather than kind of being relegated to Fightcade and so on. And that's not a shot at Fightcade, but it does kind of exist in relative obscurity compared to PSN, Xbox Live.
Yeah.
And then you've got Street Fighter 3 New Generation, Street Fighter 3 Second Impact, and Street Fighter 3 Third Strike with online play. So that is the complete package. They're promising arcade-perfect gameplay across the board. if they really wanted to, they could have some pretty sadistic trophies for this set. I kind of pitched one in the in our group chat the other night, and got responses like "fuck that." I think Danrub was kind of wishing I would catch fire or something. Because I suggested one called "Behold the Beginning," gold trophy. Finish Street Fighter 1 with no continues, and use Shoryuken to finish the fight with Sagat. No controller would be spared.
Nope.
They would all be thrown. So yeah. It's probably a good thing that I'm not in Capcom's ear with that sort of thing, because that would probably exist.
Yeah.
And well, we can hope they're more merciful than I am.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. But I think, yeah, Street Fighter 1 is going to be an interesting thing to watch people react to.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because those special
moves... It was not a good game.
It was not a good game. Well, no, it really wasn't.
Yeah, I still to this day feel that Street Fighter 2 should be the anniversary that we all celebrate as a community rather than Street Fighter 1, but...
Yeah, but, well, if it gives us, you know, this collection, I'm okay with it.
Yeah. We just have to rally and get online play in Alpha 2.
Yeah, would be nice.
That is too important to leave on the table, and hopefully we can get some kind of... mass Twitter bombardment going on to let Capcom know how important it is.
Yeah.
You know, it has the original Street Fighter, but, you know, it could be worse. It could also have the unofficial sequel to Street Fighter.
Mm-hmm.
You don't know about the unofficial?
Oh. No. We do not need that. Do not need Human Killing Machine in there.
Yeah, if those of you who don't know what I'm talking about, just look it up.
That was bad. Fortunately, Capcom had nothing to do with that, but still.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. What else can I point out about it? It kind of makes me wonder what variants of these games are going to be in there.
I think it's just going to be the games themselves. I don't expect there to be I don't expect Street Fighter Alpha 3 Upper or Double Upper. Hmm. I don't expect I don't expect Hyper Street Fighter 2 in there.
No, I wouldn't expect to see that, but I mean, for as far as Alpha 2 goes, whether they would go
Alpha 2 Gold.
Yeah.
I don't think anyone even cares about Alpha 2 Gold, so I don't expect that to be a thing.
Yeah. Yeah, because this is the kind of collection that you could have a lot of fun with if they want to put the effort into it. You know, they could throw in like random bootlegs in there.
Koryu,
yeah, Koryu, Red Wave, Rainbow Edition, all of those fun ones. That would be kind of fun, and you know, there's no real IP problem.
Depending on your
that.
Definition of fun,
yeah, well, it would just be. You know,
it'd be random as fuck.
Mildly amusing to start off playing a game as Ryu and end up as Dalsim. So, yeah, because there were I don't know if you have some of the versions, like you could switch in the middle of a fight.
Well, no, it would be switched for you.
Really. Some of them, yes, some of them would just randomly change character for you for no reason whatsoever. So that was a thing. But yeah, I'm looking forward to this. It's coming out in May. It will be on Xbox One, PlayStation 4, PC, and Switch. So all of the things, basically.
Yes. Yeah, so. Have no excuse.
Yeah. Okay, so this next story, it's about MVC Infinite.
Yeah, so we've been covering this story pretty much since before launch.
Mm-hmm.
There's definitely a noticeable wedge between the fighting game community and Capcom over Marvel vs. Capcom Infinite. And because of Twitch viewership and live viewership not being what it probably could have been for Battle for the Stones at PlayStation Experience, which I blame, you know, PlayStation Experience itself for running concurrently. This was not a a side event that was scheduled away from the festivities the way Capcom Cup was. But Evo co-founder Joey KR went on Twitter and basically put the entire game on blast, said sales are poor, viewership is shit, attendance is shit, is Marvel dead? And he made it a poll, and it ended something 59-41, yes. And this is just another chapter in a lot of acrimony toward this game, because as we all know, there was that esports video that got out, and basically Capcom made it clear that they were going to kind of exploit the fighting game community, exploit the esports element, and made a lot of assumptions about the success of their game. In no uncertain terms, they were going to try to leverage control of the fighting game community. That's not going to happen. So to have someone like Joey KR, or Mr. Wizard, as he's known in the fighting game community, come right out and just put the just air the game out and basically declare it dead doesn't make it look good for Marvel's Evo chances this year. And I can kind of see it both ways, because at the end of the day, it is a very good game. And it's Evo worthy, absolutely. But at the same time, I think Capcom does have to learn a lesson about, you know, don't try to control us as a community, because it can't be done. We run shit. And so I think this is kind of the sacrifice that has to be made to keep the fighting game community in control of the fighting genre. And so I won't be upset if the game ends up at Evo. I won't be upset if it isn't. But I'm going to keep playing it. I know that's for sure.
Yeah, I think the bigger problem was that Capcom just assumed it would be a success. You know, sight unseen, basically. And it turns out that when people actually got their hands on it, it was divisive enough that, you know, there was a good majority of the people who were just like, you know, no, don't really, not really into this.
Well, thanks.
Yeah. So, yeah, as good as the mechanics might be, you know, as fun as it might be, it just, yeah, it didn't grab people. Part of it was, I think, the lackluster presentation. I think the Disneyfication of of it didn't help it.
Or MCUification of it.
The
soundtrack really suffered for that, I have to say.
Yeah.
Because have you heard some of the Marvel character themes from that game?
Yeah, you can't really...
Captain America or Spider-Man.
Yeah, it's all very generic.
Yeah, it's just generic, epic movie score stuff. And they had some of the most memorable theme songs in the series up until that point. And now it's just been replaced by kind of cinematic, grandiose garbage.
Yep. So... yeah, it's possible MVCI may eventually get an expansion or something that would, or a different revision that would kind of correct all of this. It would have to be a massive overhaul.
I think the Fox acquisition sets the stage for it pretty well.
Yeah.
So well, at least there's that.
Yeah, well, it sets the stage to have the X-Men back in, you have Deadpool back in, you can have Fantastic Four back in. Spider-Man was already there, so you don't have to worry about that. Yeah, it's going to be an interesting thing to watch. We got 6 or 7 months to go before Evo. So, yeah, keep your eyes on this one.
The Evo announcements are going to be next month.
Yeah.
So we're going to know what games are in and what games are out much sooner than that. But I'm hoping that this doesn't discourage Capcom. I hope they set out to save the game rather than just... write it off as totaled.
Yeah.
Because there is a good game to be played when this is all said and done.
Yeah.
And the foundation is there. They just have to fill it out a little better.
Yeah. Yeah, it's not like Street Fighter Cross Tekken that didn't really get any adoption. So.
Yeah.
Yeah. So in other news, Take-Two has announced an indie label. They're calling it Private Division. Okay.
Yeah.
This is Kerbal Space Program is going to be under this division. Petrus Disciples' new game is going to be under there. It's kind of what I actually want to see, because it's a good sign that a publisher, despite the fact that it's Take-Two, is looking at bringing these somewhat lower budget AA type games into the market.
Mm-hmm.
It's cool to see. Like I said, despite the fact that it's Take-Two and they might force microtransactions down everybody's throats, who knows? Hopefully they don't do that.
I think this is kind of part of the industry kind of realizing that the AAA gravy train is starting to put the brakes on.
Yep.
And that they kind of need a room for mid-tier games or they're not going to make money. So,
and it seems like this is the better version of what Activision tried to do with Sierra, where they put out, was it just King's Quest and Geometry Wars 3, and that's the last we heard of it?
Yeah.
It's like, oh, well, thanks. You brought back this beloved name for two games.
Yeah, this seems more like, kind of like EA Partners, but not EA. So it's possible it might turn out better. It's going to be interesting to see what the games that come out of this and the developers that end up signing on to it. We have no idea what the terms are to get on this label. So, yeah, we'll have to keep on following this. And, Kerbal Space Program. Yay. I do like me some Kerbal Space Program because it is just brutal and ridiculous and fun. And you will kill many Kerbals while attempting to figure out orbital dynamics. So, hooray. So moving on, we got a Steam indie game about discovering porn that was banned.
Because, let's face it...
Why are you the way you are?
Yes, let's face it. I mean, Steam's quality control sucks.
Steam doesn't have quality control.
Yeah, this... it's called You Must Be 18 Years Old, or 18 Years or Older to Enter.
Mm-hmm.
It's what he describes on... the game's page as a horror game.
Mm-hmm.
Except not really a horror game. I'm trying to pull up the page. There we go. Because if you try to go, when you bring it up, the Steam Greenlight page, it got through Steam Greenlight, so it got that far. It's an ASCII game. The way he describes it, you're at home, alone at home in the 90s, and you heard about grown-up websites at school. How deep can you dive into the internet without being caught? Do you even like this stuff? You must be 18 or older to enter. It's a short, free alternative text-based horror game. What does that all mean? It means there are no monsters, there's no death, only you, 90s internet, and the fear of being caught. It is also free. It's on itch.io, so you can go there to get it. And it's all ASCII graphics, so I think like the most... you know, naughty looking stuff is kind of looks like, you know, if you tried to watch porn on the pay-per-view channels when you didn't have it. So it was like all the snowy.
Yeah.
Like, oh, I think I saw something there.
Like when you have to press down 0 and half press down 9 on the cable box.
Yeah. Like here's an example of some of the graphics. And they essentially shut it down, citing that it was showing nudity, which I guess is technically true, but there's nudity in a number of games on Steam.
Yeah.
And this is not exactly putting out, like, high-quality porn. It's ASCII version of porn.
Yeah.
There's how many horny visual novels on Steam?
Tons.
Well, see, the thing is, though, is that most of those, what you do is you go, and the Steam version is usually a censored version, but the websites for the games usually have, like, a patch on their website that you add to it afterwards.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, though there's some that have nudity in them.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's weird that this game gets singled out by them.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, this is, you know, this is Valve in a nutshell. Something's pointed out to them, they'll focus on that and completely ignore all the other problems Steam has.
Pretty much.
So, you know, since they launched that Steam Direct, it's actually gotten worse.
Yep.
So, the amount of crap on Steam has increased by a factor of, I don't know, about 10 at least.
Yep.
It's like the new releases page for Steam is completely useless at this point. You have no idea what you're going to get into.
So, yeah, it's like upcoming, like movies. It's all weird. Bunch of weird games here.
Yeah. 400 asset flips of the same game.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, it's pretty bad. I don't know what Steam...
Oh, here's a game called Cars with Guns, : It's About Time.
Really?
Early access.
Of course it is. Despite the fact that there already is a game on Steam that's probably much better than this that does have cars with guns. It's called Gas Guzzlers. It's awesome. So there. But yeah. Come on, Valve. You either, like, fix your shit or release Half-Life 2 Episode 3. Either would be fine. So. So we got another thing here. Yoko Taro has thoughts on Animal Crossing Pocket Camp, and they're amazing.
Yeah, so they sent out, I guess, feelers to a bunch of different developers, getting their thoughts. There's a ton here. Swery's on here. A bunch of people you probably have at least know their games. But yeah, Yoko Taro's the first one. They knew who had the best thing here. He basically says, I played the 3DS Dobumori Animal Crossing, and you know the raccoon who makes you get a mortgage without agreeing to it? It was like the layman's shock. So I wanted to get revenge on him in the mobile version. I was kind of sad because there are fewer things you can do in the mobile app compared to the 3DS version. The fact that you have less freedom makes the ditch forest seem even darker. Let's take, for example, what the quote-unquote monsters eat. The rabbit seems to be of the normal herbivores variety, but can be seen in this game grilling and eating fish. Also in this game, pigs and cows enjoy barbecue, but you can't see what they're grilling. What is going on in this ecosystem? When you run out of things to eat, do you resort to cannibalism? Is there so much difference in the intelligence of birds and fish? If you walk on two legs and talk, does that mean you won't be hunted? Is the value of your life determined by your intelligence? There's so many interesting themes hidden in this game. Also, I want to say something about the unreasonable shopping. You need to predict what those monsters want, like an Esper. As he says here, humans, Hugh possesses ESP and can give those things to them to get your big reward. What is this a metaphor for? Why do you have to collect things that are right next to the monsters to make them happy, like a slave? I guess this represents the division between people and class society. I haven't put any furniture or anything in my camp except a kerosene tank. I started this game to get revenge on that raccoon, Tanukichi, but now I have a different purpose. I'll enjoy playing this game until I burn that dark forest down. I believe he said that game is his game of the year.
Wow. That's awesome. And also shockingly accurate.
Yep. And there's other devs that are just like, there's a few sentences. Yoko Taro just wrote like a big speech about how it's an evil game.
Yeah.
He has to burn down the dark forest.
Yeah. So that's pretty awesome.
Mm-hmm.
It's what we like about him, because he just goes nuts on just about everything and then makes games like Nier Automata, so can't really fault him for that.
Nope.
Finally, our last topic of the day is the PSN holiday sale is on right now, and there's a lot of good stuff in there.
Yes.
Yeah, so there's some good stuff. Let's see what's in here. I saw Axiom Verge was on sale for $10, it looked like. So
yeah, that's
not
real
a huge
good
discount, but get it.
Yes.
The Path of Destinies was 79 cents. So
74 cents. It's not even three quarters, Pat. Get on it.
Yeah. So 74 cents. Yeah, this is the Let's Shame Pat into Buying It episode.
I thought that was Let's Weekend.
Yeah,
it keeps going until it happens.
Click that buy button. 75 cents there. There's some stuff in there, like the Telltale stuff is all on sale. So if you're looking for any of those to complete your collection, you can pick those up at a pretty good discount. There's some strange stuff in there, like Farming Simulator, if you want some obscure stuff. The usual AAA stuff. Wipeout Omega Collections in there as well. So...
And once again, if you haven't played the, if you haven't gotten the season 1 and 2 character passes for Street Fighter V, those are on sale, at least unless you're in Canada.
Yeah, and then they're not so much on sale.
Yeah, $9.99 and $14.99 respectively. Mm-hmm. Good way to get caught up in time for Arcade Edition if you don't want to just buy the disc, which will be $14 or $15 more.
Yeah.
2 character passes together at the moment. And you have till the 19th.
Yep. What was I going to say?
Tuesday.
Yeah.
Yeah, this is going to be a 5-week sale, and most of the stuff that's in here is not ending on Tuesday.
So it's just going to be more stuff adding.
Yeah, so a lot of it's Sony. The big stuff from 2K and WB, Capcom and Ubisoft are ending on Tuesday, so I assume it's going to be other of the big retail stuff that's going to be added in, but I imagine a lot of indie stuff will join as well.
Yeah,
there's a ton of good stuff here.
Yeah, they got a Mega Man Legacy Collection bundle in there if you haven't picked those up yet. You can pick those up for a pretty nice discount. Disney Afternoon Collection is on sale as well. So
yeah. Iron Crypticle's $4 if you like Smash TV. That game is real good. Mages of Mistralia is $12.
Is it Blaze Blue Central Fiction in there?
Yeah, it is. So is Guilty Gear Revelator.
Yeah, you can get the Metal Gear Solid 5. I forget what it's called. The Ultimate Experience. Yeah, that's real good game to get. It's $20. You get Ground Zeroes and Phantom Pain.
Yep. With all the DLC, I'm assuming.
Yep.
Yeah. So it makes it definitive.
Yep. So, good stuff there. Go ahead and browse through that. We'll probably have a look in a bit, see if there's anything I want to grab.
Yeah, I'm going to probably get that Wipeout game to get ready for the VR.
Yes.
Thing I'm probably not going to use much. The Pinball FX3, like all the DLC for that is on sale. 40% off, so... You can grab a bunch of packs on the cheap. And there's one of those that's free.
I'd love to play Wipeout with you guys, too.
Yeah, there's a new pack that they just released this week for Pinball FX3 that is free. I forget what it's called. Carnivals and Legends. It's free on all platforms. Steam, Switch, PS4, and Xbox One.
No, go ahead and download that.
No reason not to get, I think it's 2 tables. The original tables as well.
Yeah. So, cool stuff. All right, and finally, our picks of the week for this week, and I'm guessing for the end of the year, probably.
Yeah.
I'm going to start us off with Datadiscs. Yesterday, they launched their latest officially licensed soundtrack on vinyl. And that one is Streets of Rage 3.
Good place to start.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. So you can get that for £24 plus shipping. So right now, the limited editions are gone. So the translucent smoke black are translucent orange and black are gone. But they still have the translucent orange and the classic black available. So yeah, check that out. Along those same lines, I should point out that they're doing a repress of Sonic Mania. Limited edition of that is already sold out, but the blue is still available. So, if you were looking to get some soundtracks on vinyl, check out Datadiscs. They do good shit.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, for mine, one game that may have slipped under people's radar for one reason or another is Kamen Rider Climax Fighters. Not being released here in North America, but the Asian edition is going to be subtitled in English. So that makes the game fully playable. I highly recommend it, especially if you're looking forward to some of that Dissidia action at the end of January. this would be a pretty good way to whet your appetite for it.
Mm.
So I left the link in the show notes to buy the game from PlayAsia. And the only word of warning I would give is that shipping may be pretty slow if you don't get the express option. So be aware of that. But other than that, it's looking to be a fantastic game.
Yeah. Yeah. Unfortunately, we don't get it in North America, but like you said.
It's region-free. It's in English. All you have to do is import it.
Yep.
Yeah. You could also do the same thing for DOA X3, but you probably shouldn't. So.
Yeah.
There.
Just avoid that altogether.
Yeah.
Pretty sure it's dirt cheap now, too.
But. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. So mine is the creator of Katamari Damacy, he has a new game, and it is charmingly insane.
How insane?
It's basically sort of a puzzle game in which you play a little mayor block, like a little green block with like a mayor hat and mustache and everything, and the goal is to try and make friends with all these other toys that'll show up in the stage, and you do this by having to solve various puzzles, by like putting out fires or finding ways to make them happy or make them laugh, to the point where eventually all of the toys will then link hands, and then the mayor toy will take off his hat, which reveals a little bomb that when it explodes, it basically sends all of your other toys, characters into the sky to the smiling sun in the sky, and everybody's happy, and that's how you beat a level.
Okay. I'm not going to question it. It's Keita Takahashi.
Yeah.
I got nothing. It's just, let's just run with it. It probably makes sense in context.
Yeah.
But I'm really glad that he's working on something rather than just not being involved in Donut County.
Yeah. But I have it linked to Game Informer article, and you can see, gameplay footage on YouTube if you want. The game's called Wattam, so it's Wattam.
Yeah. I've heard of that.
Yeah, it's about.
I saw it briefly at E3, but they didn't get much coverage out of it.
Yeah.
Hmm. Yeah. So Wattam, cool. Check that out. Chris.
All right, so there's still more good stuff that is on sale. SteamWorld Dig 2 is $15 on PS4 and Vita. You get both of those with cross-buy, or you can get it on the Switch for $15.
Stay tuned to SmashPad for more on that game.
Yeah.
That game is real good, and it's worth your time.
Mm. So, yeah. So that's pretty much our picks of the week for the week of December 17th. So I think with that, we're going to end the show and possibly – no, we're not going to end the year. We got another episode coming.
Yep.
Subscribe. That's a thing that you should do.
Mm-hmm.
Subscribe on Apple Podcasts, on TuneIn, Google Play, or your favorite RSS reader or podcast app. You can also check us out at smashpad.com, where we're going to have a lot of coverage coming up. Our game of the year, including individual articles for everybody on staff, is going to be posting in the next few days. I am Filippo DiNolfo.
I'm Patrick Mifflin.
I'm Brandon Perkins.
And I'm Chris Sologi.
See you next week.